Hello, and welcome to another Thursday night of Blue Sierras Telehealth Radio. I'm Michelle Hager, the managing partner of Blue Sierras Consulting in South Carolina. And tonight, our first guest is Stan Healy. He's the president of Physician Services Group of Florida, as well as Porter Health of South Carolina. Physician Services Group of Florida provides attending and medical director services to skilled nursing facilities, and they align the practice of medicine with the business of medicine. So we love having you here, Stan. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, Michelle, it's great to be here. I'm doing good. Thank you.
Thanks so much for being here. We know that each week on this show, we discuss telehealth, healthcare issues. We're always trying to inform our listeners on the benefits of receiving remote care and even care inside of your home. But tonight, we wanted to talk about this in a slightly different way and providing telehealth to folks in areas that they may not have considered, like a skilled nursing facility, and these different locations where you can provide physician services, as well as other types of clinical services that can help patients and families every day. Tell our listeners about Physician Services Group and the communities that you serve.
So Physician Services Group of Florida is our main market is along I-10 North Florida. Our largest cluster market is in Pensacola. We're also in Tallahassee and several small communities in between, small communities like Chautauqua. We're also in Crestview, Perry, and also Stark, Florida. So we're really along I-10. We plan to move into the Jacksonville market as well. And like you mentioned, and a lot of our providers don't like the term, but we're a SNFist group, if you will.
What
So
is it
there's
called?
SNFist. So
A
there's
snippist.
hospitalist, there's hospitalist, and then there's SNFist. And so SNFist are skilled nursing facility physicians, and we provide physicians and nurse practitioners in skilled nursing facilities. And there's such a need for that for not just evidence-based medicine, but standardized medicine. And so what we have done is we've gone into some of them are larger nursing home companies and some are freestanding, where we're offering an integrated product within their EMR. And like what we're going to be talking about today, we also offer telehealth services, which we find is very beneficial for this care setting.
So this is really interesting. So I think most people may have had some experience with a skilled nursing facility. Their parents or grandparents or other family members may be in a nursing home. And in these facilities, there are historically mostly nurses that are caring for patients and very few geriatricians or physicians in the building themselves, and they may come in and out throughout the day to write orders and things like that. So how does Physician Services Group support the nursing homes in that way? Because you're all across North Florida and really from Central Florida almost in North Florida. So how are you supporting those organizations, both with your standard face-to-face services and also your telehealth services?
Right. So the historical model and really what changed, obviously, like a lot of healthcare was COVID. So prior to COVID, it was very common for a physician that may have a family practice within the community, or maybe a hospital has a physician group that would stop by the nursing home maybe once or two times a week. So that was a very common practice. There were nurse practitioners that would stop in and out as well. What we have done and what is different, and of course, obviously, this depends on the size of the facility as well, but we provide a nurse practitioner many times that is in that facility Monday through Friday, 8 hours a day.
That's
And
great.
that nurse practitioner becomes, if you will, part of the team. And so when you look at skilled nursing facilities, typically, it is a heavily LPN model. There are registered nurse, requirements, and there are registered nurses, but it's not as many as you would see in an acute care setting. So then also with what, like I mentioned before, you might have a physician that drops in and out, one time or two times a week. We have a very, a schedule where our physicians are on very regularly, I would say at the minimum 3 times a week. But the other thing that we've done is we've taken technology And we've taken that to another level because a lot of times, whether it was a local physician that might have a practice in that area that, you know, would come in and they're the medical director and they just had a relationship with that local nursing home. What we have done is we have a integrated EMR that goes in with the EMR of the skilled nursing facilities. So what we've seen where we have come in, historically, that provider was doing things on paper, handing it to the facility. They would then scan it as a PDF in many cases, or sometimes it was transcribed into that EMR, but it wasn't, and sometimes that note came later on. And so what we have done is not so much revolutionary as much as it's evolutionary. So we have actually, when our providers are in the facility, we use our EMR that once they see that patient or that resident, they document, they sign it, and it is immediately uploaded in that facility's EMR. Then add that extra layer of protection after hours, we then provide telehealth services. And so we have this level of coverage at all times. So after hours, many times historically it was call the physician or call that nurse practitioner. And, you know, hopefully they know that resident or they're familiar with the facility. And what we do is our telehealth interfaces with the facility's EMR. Most of the time it's PCC. And we know what is in PCC. That nurse will then summons our a provider through PCC and through telehealth. And we see the whole picture because the competitive advantage right now and the goal ultimately for good patient care is to keep that resident in that care setting. The last thing you want is an elderly resident laying on a stretcher in the emergency room. It adds to confusion. It adds to the potential for bed sores. It's just not good practice, just not good medicine. What we're trying to do is keep that resident in the facility by providing after-hours telehealth. And, you know, there's so many examples that I can tell you about that we have been able to prevent that readmission. And one of the ones is, you know, just the real basic information. And so a lot of times families will come in, you know, their loved ones are in the facility. They come in after hours and maybe they haven't seen their loved one in a week or so, or something happened that day. They see their loved one and they're like, my mom's not acting normal. I want her to go to the hospital right now.
Right.
So then what do? You have to load that resident up in an ambulance. You send them to the hospital. The ER is like, what are they here for? Just there's a whole host of problems there. Not to say that that's not necessary at times. Obviously, if there's medical necessity, obviously you want to transfer that resident. But if it's just mom's not looking right, what we offer is through telehealth. It's okay. Nurse hears from the family member. Mom's not looking right. Nurse goes and then summons telehealth. That provider then gets on the telehealth service with the family, with the resident, and let's discuss it right there in the room. Family right. gets to hear it firsthand. Resident doesn't have to go to the ER. Maybe there's a way, you know, that we can give some level of comfort or, and actually resolve whatever that issue is. And many times it could be something like, you know, dehydration, confusion, there's all sorts of different things that could be going on. But that level of comfort and assurance with that family member is, you know, obviously, again, if there's something that we need to send them out to the ER, we're sending them to the ER. But in these many cases, it can be treating in place, which is the best thing for all parties.
Oh, absolutely. Treat in place. And as a family member of someone who's been in a nursing home before, my mother-in-law and my father-in-law were in there, you know that that happens. You have a change in condition that is just slight. Even if you have seen them in the last couple of days, sometimes because their conditions are so fragile, there's sometimes swings in the way that they may have some behavioral changes or, you know, other types of physical changes that just make you nervous. And I think when you consider one thing we don't talk about often is the level of care that you receive in a nursing home, those clinicians, whether it's your physicians and nurse practitioners that are providing that supplemental services, they're all trying hard. They know these patients really well, and they know the elder care patient signals really, really well. Versus the emergency room, they're really there for trauma, and they're really there for those quick, you know, I've got a problem and I need to, you know, patch that up. They're not as skilled. And then and emergency room docs would say that as well. They're not as skilled at understanding all the nuances around geriatric populations and some of those challenges that they have. So it's really important to keep that, as you said, continuity of care and treat at home or in the level of care that they are currently at. I know for myself, anytime a patient, my family member had to transfer to the hospital, there's a whole host of things that could go on, certainly pre-COVID and in COVID and post-COVID, right? We're all worried about them catching something in the hospital. So better to keep them where they are in their residential home. Absolutely. So really good services there. One thing that I wanted to point out is that we know that physician service shortages are growing at an exponential rate. The American Association of Medical Colleges projects a national shortage of up to 120,000 physicians by 2033. That's over 200,000 nurses as well by the same date. So we have both nursing shortages and physician shortages that are really crunching the healthcare market. And we all predicted this as we saw boomers growing up. And as we see other generations moving forward, this is just happening. And we're also not graduating as many physicians. So we know the aging workforce is happening. The physician workforce drives some of those projected shortages, but some of it stems from Medicare funding, the caps on Medicare funding and residency slots imposed by Congress that were over 25 years ago as part of the cost saving measures. So the number of medical school graduates increases sometime, and it has over the last two decades. We have seen some increasing medical school graduates, particularly during COVID. There's a lot of energy and effort done to that. Medicare funded training opportunities for those graduates has remained frozen. We don't have the physicians to be able to continue to train them that are Medicare funded training opportunities. So we have over 3,000 applicants that lacked residency slots in 2019. And those caps have also created imbalances in favor of allocation slots towards lower cost and higher reimbursement specialties. So all that to be said, Medicare funding drives physician shortages. It drives the services that can be provided in a nursing home, as well as Medicaid, which is also driven by CMS as well. We know that recently CMS has said that they are going to actually increase the fees to a skilled nursing facility in their payment schedules. So they have done this as a proposed rule. What does that mean for your organizations that you're working with? And how does that help patients and their families that are currently in nursing homes or looking for one? Where is that going to impact, do you think, that additional funding?
So my hope is, you know, what it comes down to is, especially in this, you know, end of the continuum and post-acute, and especially in skilled nursing facilities, reimbursement is a major driver for everything. And like you mentioned, it also drives for your staffing and your ability to retain and attract staff. So we have a shortage on the entire continuum. You have it from, like you just mentioned, you have the physicians, the nurse practitioners, you have the nurses, registered nurses, LPNs, and then you have CNAs. So, and I remember before COVID in the skilled nursing space, we were competing against Chick-fil-A. I'll just be honest with you. Our greatest competitor for staffing was not other nursing homes. It was Chick-fil-A. It was McDonald's. You would see these sign-on bonuses and you would see, and you have to think about, you know, what does someone want to do? And the other thing is what, you know, if you look at what the pay is going to be, but you also want compassionate, purpose-driven people to be in this industry, because you're taking care of humans, and you're not just taking care of humans. You're taking care of the most frail of humans and our elders that, you know, have helped grow in this country. And So it is a very complex problem that we're all trying to solve. One of the things that, at least on the, you know, on the extender and the physician side, with telehealth, you have some opportunity, at least when you look at shortages, to do, if you will, right care at the right place at the right time. You know, that's one of the things that we're trying to do is, and when we've been expanding into, you know, this, you know, adoption of telehealth, it's because we're spread out. We're spread out across a large geographic area. So if we have someone based that can then answer calls and, like I said, prevent that readmission, that's where you're providing the greatest care. We've got to look at, there's got to be a longer view, because it's not going to get any better. And so with technology, and that's the thing that we just got to make sure that, you know, reimbursement tied on telehealth, you know, has to increase as well. And it also has to be available, because if that somehow is hamstringed, then what's going to happen to our, you know, ability to be more efficient? And so that's the thing that we're going to have to look at, is becoming more efficient with technology. A lot of us, you know, I wear a wearable. I mean, a lot of people are wearing Apple Watches. You have Dexcom, you have all these different wearable technologies. We're going to have to adopt those as well. But there's a cost associated with that, because when we look at staffing, when we look at those that are going to have to do blood pressure, temperatures, blood sticks, you know, all of these different things, you have to look at how you're going to become the most efficient. And if we're doing this in ourselves, if we're wearing an Apple Watch and it says my heart rate is this, and we know that there's a level of, you know, accuracy there, and if we can almost create, if you will, some type of telemetry way of having residents, you know, in skilled nursing facilities with some type of wearable, that's how we're going to get more efficient, because the staffing issue is going to be, it's going to be the looming problem. That's going to be what's going to really hurt us. But at the same time, we have to be able to pay for these technologies that's going to provide the better care.
Right. That's a good point. I think it'll be interesting to see how the wearable market changes to meet the needs of a geriatric population. I think right now it's focused on the wellness, right? And the healthy population. Unfortunately, we know that some of these technologies are actually worn by the people that probably don't need to wear it, right? Don't have chronic conditions. So how can we see that business or that industry evolve such that it provides additional data points, which can be more effective for geriatric population or others?
Well, it goes to your point, reimbursement. So that's the thing, it goes to reimbursement. So, but if you want accurate, good care, I mean, that's the thing, is that unfortunately, you know, with skilled nursing and with all of healthcare, what we're talking about is government regulated revenue and free market expenses. And so somewhere that has to intersect, and you have to find that sweet spot where you become as efficient as possible. And if we continue to get some type of incentives on quality, then that's how we're going to get more innovative.
Yeah. And we have a whole conversation about this, but then whether or not those businesses even want to go down that road, because now they have to be FDA regulated as a medical device. And there's a whole bunch of hullabaloo around that as well. But agreed. Let's talk a little bit more as we've been discussing these new innovations. There is a lot of innovation in the digital health world. This happens. There's a lot of investment. We've talked about this on the show before. There's a lot of investment in digital health and virtual health solutions. And as a result, that means there's a lot of entrepreneurs that are coming into the market. As an entrepreneur yourself, any advice for someone who's doing a new startup or thinking about starting a business?
So it's interesting, because my career path, I didn't think I would be an entrepreneur. I mean, I studied it. I felt very entrepreneur, but I never thought I would actually take the leap. I was really hospital-based, system-based for a long time. I was with a large hospital system in South Carolina for 17 years. And I went to the nursing home, you know, for-profit nursing home side. And, you know, I was president of nursing home companies and, you know, operated nursing home companies. And then taking the leap and seeing the need for, like I mentioned, a SNFist group, or so, for some type of, you know, medical model for skilled nursing, you know, I guess you have to take the leap. And I never thought I would do this, but I did. And actually, you know, creating a, you know, physicians group, and providing it for, you know, for skilled nursing facilities, I think that what's important is two things. Number one, you have to adopt technology and you got to see how a technology is going to help you. And unfortunately, however you want to look at it, with AI, with everything that's happening right now, it is a competitive advantage and it does help offset what you're paying for with actual humans. And so you have to adopt technology, which is critical. And then the other thing is too, is you have to look at what your payer source is and how you're going to get paid. And so for what we do with being a physician group, and this is part of my pitch, is when you're in a space like, you know, post-acute care, especially long-term care, you know, that is a very tight market on margins. And so when you offer a service, and what we're doing is we're not billing the facility, we're billing Medicare, Medicaid, third party, but we're doing that, but we're going to provide the best level of care for the facility, because what we're going to do is our success is their success is our success. So we're going to make sure we're going to provide the best patient care, which is going to make them look good. We're also, by my mentioning of having a nurse practitioner there, we're adding to their staffing level, if you will. Okay, so we have an expert on hand in that facility. Back before PDPM, so that was, for those that are not in the skilled nursing space, that was when the flip happened from a therapy-driven model of skilled nursing to a medicine-driven model of skilled nursing. It used to be everything was therapy-driven, and that go-to person was the physical therapist, because that's what's going to drive your business model. And that was, like, in some cases, one of your more educated individuals, and it was like, well, what do you think? That has since shifted. And now if you look at where we're at, it's more the nurse practitioner that's in that building or that physician. And there's more of a active role versus I'm the physician that this is my side hustle at the nursing home. And I come by and I stop by periodically and, you know, hopefully they catch them, you know, like, we got a question for you. We need to sign these documents, or, you know, and this is so, again, going back to evolutionary versus revolutionary, we've come into some places where the physicians had not adopted technology. Okay. And there would be,
which is common in a SNF, which is common in skilled nursing facilities. Right.
Very, yeah. Very much so. And so, and I remember, you know, I was like, what is your pain point? Okay. Talking to a potential new facility. Well, when we need something signed, we don't want to have to send one of our personnel to the doctor's practice to get him to sign it and then drive back again. Like, this is one of the pain points. So there's this thing called PDF. So we were able to just, like, literally be able to sign things, and by just, like, this is a really basic technology. So I guess sometimes, And I remember when I was getting my MBA, it's not that you have to do something revolutionary. Sometimes it's just wheels on a suitcase. You know what I mean? Suitcase has been around for a long time. Someone added wheels to it and was like, wow, now we can never imagine it. And this is the same thing that we're doing. It's not as if that we created this medical model inside of a nursing home. We just changed it. And
better mousetrap.
Right. And that's what you have to look at the space that you're in. Maybe they're not maximizing technology, and it's not like you're going in and, you know, doing some big servers or doing something that's a massive undertaking, you know, in capital and labor. It's sometimes just very simple things, and it's just looking at it a different way. And that's what we've done, is we're just looking at it a different way, and we're providing, it's a great thing, because at the end product is good care,
right,
for elderly people in nursing homes. That's a win. Yeah,
that's absolutely a win. You're absolutely right. And to be able to provide that additional value, not only to those patients, but their families and their having that comfort feeling that you said, where you can talk to them all together via telehealth, and you can provide the support to those nurses that are in that facility. And a lot of times those are more novice nurses that are in those facilities. And, you know, this is a needed service for sure. As an entrepreneur myself, my advice is always around providing value. Find where your value is to provide, and that's where you drive towards, and your funding, your reimbursement will follow, as long as your clients feel that you're providing value to them. And you learn that along the way. It's iterative, as you said. You've evolved rather than creating a revolution in healthcare. You're really evolving and evolving the business of healthcare. Well, Stan, we're going to have you back because we didn't get to ask all of our questions to you. I know that you're an avid cyclist and a hiker, and I want to hear all about that in another time. So I'll have to invite you back.
I love that. Thank you very much for having me.
You're very welcome. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time. We always want to provide our listeners with helpful information in this show about healthcare and telehealth. I hope you have a great rest of the week, and let's follow up again next year, Stan.
Great. Looking forward to it.
We'll be right back with our next guest on Blue Sierra's Telehealth Radio.